Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Now, in studio, we have the City Power CEO, Shifularu Mashaba, who's been doing the rounds because there has been a lot of talk about what the AG has said, lots of talk about money that seemed to have been spent incorrectly. But I want us to take it in chunks so that people can understand. So, obviously, what I think is getting a lot of attention is this investigation that you sanctioned, actually, and what happened there. I just want us to separate the monies, because if you look at the numbers, it looks like there was this 300 million that was spent. It's not quite like that. Am I correct?
Firstly, good evening you, and thank you for having me. Good evening to you and the listeners. So, on the 300 million rands, I think there was a newspaper article that indicated, the headline was saying 300 million for, I think it said air fresheners and mops
and so on.
But when you really look at it, the 300 million...
That's your annual budget, is it not?
No, it's actually not. We spend about 300 million in a quarter on repair and maintenance.
Yeah.
I think bearing in mind that we are servicing almost the entire city of Johannesburg, we spend over a billion rands on repairs and maintenance. But I think the issue there was indicating that we could have spent the money in areas that we shouldn't have. But there's an investigation that we sanctioned. Actually, to take it back a little bit earlier, there's an investigation that was requested by the group executive of operations in the space when a new contract came in. And at the time when we had EXCO, the discussion came about that we've got all these contractors coming into our system, and it looks as if they're actually part and parcel of the theft and vandalism of our infrastructure, but also theft of our material that's coming from our own warehouse.
What were the red flags?
So the red flags were on warehouse, stock not reconciling, the escalating number of vandalism. We went through a period that we'd wake up two or three mini substations stolen.
Gone.
Now, when you look at that, and we started being suspicious when we looked at the invoices that the contractors were bringing back. So in terms of the very last investigation that was, because the first one focused more on the controls in the space, right?
Yes, the governance, there were two phases.
The governance side of things. And then the second phase focused on the employees and the contractors. Now, in terms of what we discovered was, we do have instances where actually some contractors are putting in claims as if they bought the material, whereas in this instance is the material that either came from our own warehouse or was located somewhere on our own network.
In other words, stolen.
Correct.
Let's talk about the first phase before we complete the issue of the second phase. What have you decided to then do upon realizing that some of your oversight procedural steps were not quite working?
We actually changed that already in 2023.
Okay.
So what we had to do was to centralize our processes. At City Power, we've got about eight, we call them service delivery centers. Each one would have a general manager, their teams there. So the way it was being done was work orders, purchase orders could be created at any point. And payments were also not centralized. So what we did to tighten the controls, we then centralized all of that.
Okay.
It was a big change in the organization. It created a lot of unhappiness in the organization. But we soldiered on. We got through with that. Externally, people were not happy. Internally, people were not happy. But if we are to be accountable, we needed to have sight of what exactly are we paying, because those are public funds after all.
So where would have, just by way of example, where would there have been a loophole? You have systems in place in terms of your own procurement systems where you would say, I don't know, a pipe, because I don't know any better, a pipe should cost X because of that's the market price, right? Yes. How would anybody would have sent in an invoice with an inflated price and that not have been picked up?
So on repair and maintenance, yeah, there's no incident of inflated prices.
Okay.
Simply because when those contracts are awarded, we've got a bill of quantities, yeah, the prices are set. So on that side, we do not have inflated prices. What we battled with on that side is the issue that stolen goods were claimed for. Where we seem to have had inflated prices would be, if you go through the article, issues of pens, of memory sticks, and so on. But actually what we did, because we caught on that quite early, sometime around 2022, and actually created a price intelligence function at City Power. We introduced that towards the late 2023 so that we can then subject every single item to price intelligence.
Yeah.
So right now, those would be legacy issues.
Got
but
you.
Going forward, we are not going to have that.
Got you.
Yes.
All right. Then let's talk about the second phase and just complete that conversation. So the money that's in question, it was an invoice or invoices, but not necessarily paid out. Am I correct? That 5 million sort of.
Yes, on that one, fortunately, we had not paid that one off. There are instances, however, we call it a rotable process, wherein when a contractor is going to fix an old mini-sub and we can't do any repairs, we have to replace. They're supposed to remove that and bring it back to City Power.
Got you.
And then we can then either do repairs on it or we scrap it. So what we also realize is that...
But it's your property.
It's our property. Yeah. In fact, it's our asset.
Yes.
We should either scrap it to make some money out of that, or we refurbish it to save costs. So there are some contractors that never brought that back.
And
so
sold it
that's
back to
where
you.
We lost. So it's either they sold it back to us or anywhere else, unfortunately. So that is what we've identified as gaps.
In that second phase, my understanding is that that investigation is not quite yet completed. So you still have some funds that you're still checking out, so to speak.
Yes. So there's a phase that is complete.
Yeah.
But this is open-ended, so we did not subject all our transactions to this. So it's not like we took the entire billion rands and we went through it. So internal audit, obviously sampled, and then based on what they've done, this is what we have. So there's still further investigations that are happening. So, and it's also a process that we also still need to take it through to our own board. So that the board can,
authorize.
So we had a draft, a report in January, just to show you its work in progress, that we did table at our audit and risk committee to say, look, there are these fraudulent activities that we suspect. So there's this forensic investigation that we are conducting. And preliminary, it tells us there's a problem. So we are digging deeper. So the report then came back on the 7th of March that tells us there's a lot that we need to recover from the contractors. It tells us there's something that we need to do in terms of our own employees.
So 15, I believe, of your employees are under investigation at the moment.
Correct.
One criminally. So what exactly are the issues in that case? Why does it distinguish them from the other 15?
So the other employees is a matter of they authorized, it's gross negligence or negligence, right? It's administrative issues. Whereas, regrettably, the other employee would go to the warehouse, release material falsely, and so on. So those are just dodgy criminal activities, unfortunately.
And then the five contractors?
The five contractors... So what they did was to claim for something that came from our warehouse, unfortunately. And we have to go through the processes mandated by the legislation, which means we also have to blacklist them.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm hoping the security cluster is also part of this process.
Yes. Before I came in here, yeah. I was actually at an MPEC, which is the committee that holds us accountable. Mm. And issues of theft and vandalism were also being discussed there. And how the security cluster must also support us in this instance.
Does it vindicate you in a way? Because on a daily basis, we would be yelling and screaming, you know, we were told load shedding is done, but City Power is doing its thing. And you keep telling us, yes, but something has broken. Something is stolen parts, stolen mini substation. Does it vindicate you in a way to at least have an explanation as to, we now know that it really has been stolen for nefarious activities?
I wouldn't say it vindicates us, because our responsibility as City Power is to keep the lights on.
Mm.
So we have a responsibility to safeguard our assets as well. But what it does, it indicates that we've got a bigger problem in our communities, because the theft and vandalism does not happen in isolation.
Mm.
It happens in the very communities. The contractors that we appoint, they come from the very communities. So I think what it does, it says there's more that needs to be done in terms of curbing theft and vandalism. If you look at what happens in a city, our cables, thousands of kilometers of cable run underneath in the tunnels. Our technicians, our security guards, they meet criminals there. They get shot at. So what this says is there's a bigger problem that I think the collective, the security cluster, ourselves as the technicians in this instance, but also the communities we serve, must come together to do something about this.
What about the vetting issue of some of your service providers?
So part of the improvements that we're bringing about, which is also part of what the AG cited.
Mm.
So apart from these contractors that I'm talking about, if you go through the report that we received in November, because what they did is they sampled some of the bids and they went through to check on who we awarded. So there's one bid where we awarded it's like three panels. One would have 65 companies, another 14 companies, another 12 companies. Mm. So on what they checked, they actually discovered that three of those companies had submitted something fraudulent at some point in time, which then triggered to say we need to include in our process proper vetting, which in the past, in the history of City Power, in terms of our standard operating procedures, we wouldn't, for example, when you come to us and we would request you to give us CVs of your technicians.
Yes.
Right. So we would take that and would assume you have got those technicians.
Yeah.
But right now we have to vet you the way we would do recruitment.
I see.
And I think the challenge with that in the past, I think the reason why it was never something that we did at City Power was more the volume. So, for example, if I look at what we call the labor contract, we literally get over 1,000 companies, and we've got a validity period of that bid for 120 days. And then you have to comb through
every single one of the people in that.
So what we had opted to do from our risk mitigation was to vet the vehicles, because it was easier. We get it to the transport authority, they assist us. So there were certain things that we were vetting, but not everything. But what this has indicated to us is we rather take longer in awarding the bids and make sure that every single thing is vetted. So on another unrelated matter, there are the three contractors again that we are blacklisting.
Sure. And obviously that would mean Treasury is also part of that as well.
Of course, yes.
Okay. Let's go, you just pointed out the AG's report. Let's go a little bit to that, because that I think speaks to broader issues where you would have to do something about managing your budget and forecasting your spending in simple terms, in a way. I know there are a lot of legacy issues here. And I do remember a time when we were all celebrating the fact that City Power has paid Eskom a big chunk of the money, and we were all celebrating. It's come at a cost, has it not?
No, of course. So let's talk about the 5 billion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So in terms of the 5 billion, how our budgeting cycles work is we get... council approves a budget for us sometime in April.
Yeah.
So start before we had a particular budget approved for us for bulk purchases.
Yeah.
Come January, we go through a midterm budget adjustment process. And City Power goes to the shareholder for that. So when we got there, two factors were at play. Factor number one, load shedding was showing us flames. I mean, we were almost stage eight, literally. So the discussion now from the shareholder who's in charge of my budget was, you've got load shedding. You can't possibly think that I will give you this money for your electricity purchases because there's no electricity that you're buying. We had load shedding. So we need to reduce that particular budget. There were debates held with the shareholder. Number one, that we're not in control of load shedding. It can end
anytime.
But obviously, at that point in time, it was very unbelievable that load shedding.
So the allocation was not there because...
Because here you are.
We don't want to have that electricity, we think.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, the budget has to be funded.
Yeah.
So where the shareholder is coming from is that you must have sales. You must make your sales for me to give you this to spend. And in this instance, there's load shedding.
People
you
are
not going to make the sales. So how do I then give you this budget on the expenditure? So that was factor number one. Factor number two, where the heart of the dispute with Eskom is. Before it went to court, we were still having nice engagements. And there were meetings that were held that suggested that, look, we can get a cut back on our expenditure. So given those factors, the end result became a reduction in budget. So that's not a City Power decision.
Yeah.
It's a City of Johannesburg decision.
Yeah.
However, when it comes to the AG doesn't say whose decision it was. The way our legislation is, I'm the accounting officer. So the AG would then come in and say the accounting officer failed.
Yeah.
To appropriately budget. They don't look at the fact that we screamed at each other asking for this budget and this happened. They look at the fact that you don't have that particular budget at that point in time. So the end result is we spend something that we're not authorized to spend.
It comes to decisions that were made way back around also added to this. How and who bills, and that's been a discussion that resulted eventually in Feb in a decision to bring back some of that responsibility back to City Power. Let's talk a little bit about that and how that's going to assist you going forward.
Yes, so there was a project back in 2010 to centralize billing at City of Johannesburg. And I think it was a noble idea because you don't want to frustrate customers. You want customers to get one consolidated bill. However, the implementation, I think, came with more challenges than what was anticipated at that point in time. And the signs are crystal clear. So if I have to open up my City Power books and you look at the billing trends, and you look at the non-technical losses trends, and you look at the debt management trends, it's just been downhill since 2010. The only thing that's happening is that 15 years later, what was 100 million then is now 1 billion right now. But it's been downhill. And what created this problem in the main was the fragmented nature of the value chain.
Yep.
And the fact that you've got entities that must be accountable, and you're an accounting officer, but all the decisions are not yours.
With the city.
But you account.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out for us. And as City Power is an entity, from 2017, we've been writing to the shareholder requesting that this is not working for us. Simply because from 2017, we started seeing our finances totally in the red. And we kept on indicating that it's not about to turn. It's just going to keep on getting worse year on year.
Because you're working with estimates, essentially, at this point that don't necessarily meet what the city is doing. So you on your side have got inaccurate numbers, essentially, in a way.
It's because you've got a limited time period to produce a bill. So you've got inefficiencies on City Power side, you've got inefficiencies on City of Johannesburg side, and you've got a limited period to deal with this. So it's basically like you've got a wall. City Power is on this side, City of Johannesburg is on this side. City Power reads your meter.
And I want my bill now, 4 month end.
So we're going to read your meter. Then we throw that reading to the other side. But we've got no visibility on what's happening on the other side.
But they, you must bill it. Me.
They receive it and they say something is wrong. City Power did not do the right reading. They throw it back at City Power. City Power does not quite understand what they mean, because according to them, this reading is right. So we waste a good 12 days arguing with each other. You end up with an estimated bill. So what the shareholder did through the city manager now is to say, single point of management accountability. Entities do the billing. The city will just release the invoice at the end, because we don't want to take away the good that came with the past decision. But let's fix the fact that this fragmentation doesn't work for us. And then the city will be responsible for the collection. So that's the decision right now.
Those legacy issues where you've had to now, and the Eskom issue with COVID, I think has given you some wonderful lessons. You're here now. Do you feel that with what you've done at that time, the 2023 budget, and where you find this report making you look really bad, there's enough that you can work with going forward to improve on the AG's report?
No, definitely. The AG process is a mirror. That's all it is. And if you take it and you don't work on it, you are going to see the same ugly picture all over again. So we take the AG report very seriously. We take the recommendations very seriously. In fact, we subscribe to their rules of, it's not really about the findings. At the end of the day, it's about doing good, because the AG is there to instill public confidence. Yep. So when they give us a report with both, what I like about it is the report is not a bad report, actually. I need to say that. The report has some bad issues that management must fix, but it also has some very good issues that the AG is saying, these are strengths that you should retain. These are the good things that you've done. So we take the report to make sure that the good things that we've done that the AG is commending us on, we keep at it. For example, they gave us a clean bill of health on our procurement and contract management processes. So we need to make sure that we retain that. And where they said to us, this is not good, like on expenditure management, because then we exceeded the budget, or we had interest on the Eskom bill.
Yeah.
We definitely have to work that. On that. Yes.
Are you optimistic?
I don't have a choice. I absolutely have to be.
Well, look, ultimately, I think what's important is you breaking it down for us in a way that everybody can understand. We really appreciate you coming through, because I think it does allow everybody to understand where all these big numbers are coming from and what do they actually mean. We do look forward to, I suppose, a complete report once it's been sanctioned by the board, as you said.
Yes.
And we get a better sense of how bad it is. And I'm sure you're also looking forward to that.
Of course.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming through City Power. CEO Shifularu Mashaba is the City Power CEO, as I said. And just to give us a breakdown of those numbers that have been a discussion point for many of us in the city of Johannesburg. So thank you very much for coming through once again.
Thank you for having me.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.